Thank you all for coming live. I'm really excited about doing these live workshops. Those of you who've been around for a long time know that I, in the past, would do recorded workshops for you each month for the first few years of the circle. Then I moved into doing some projects, and then we were doing the Members Only podcast. But I really wanted to bring back this workshop format, and I thought it would be way more fun if we did it live so that you actually had a chance to interact with me as we were doing the workshop. However, of course, I am recording this, so there will be a recording available. If you want to go back to it in future and work on it again, you can absolutely do that. It will be available to you. But making it live is the best idea, because not only do you have a chance to chat with me and ask me questions, you also can get the work done, because sometimes it's really hard to get the work done, isn't it? Especially this sort of visioning, sort of long-term planning work. It's one of those things we can just easily push to the side. So that's why I wanted to start the year off with this. I know some of you probably already done some of this work already. Myself, I did this in, I did this work back in December, actually. But for those of you who haven't, awesome. It's awesome time to get it done in January before kind of, you know, if you've got kids, or I should say, I'm talking from an Australian perspective here, all the kids have just gone back to school after the summer holidays, and it's a great time if you're in that circumstance to get started, but just January is a great time in general. So your vision and priorities for the year ahead is what we're talking about today. All right, so we're going to start with a vision, because sometimes we make the mistake of just starting with a couple of goals or a couple of priorities. And I want to clarify before I kind of dive into it what the difference between a priority and a goal is. Now, those of you who've been around a long time, you might have done like my top three priorities workshops and things like that. So a goal is like a very specific thing you're trying to reach. So, for example, I want to make $1,000 this year in my business. Okay, so that can be a goal. It can also be a priority. So a goal can be a priority, but a priority doesn't need to be a goal. So a priority might be something a bit more broad, like I want to focus on, narrowing down my creative direction this year. You know, you might want to, I want to experiment with new things and work out, you know, a different direction for my craft. So it can be a little bit more nebulous, whereas a goal is definitely like, It should be a SMART goal, you know, so measurable, time-bound, all those sorts of things. Whereas vision is the higher level where we're going, okay, where do I actually want to get to? What's the whole point of this? Rather than starting at the small level, we start at the big picture, work out what we actually want. So if you don't have a clear idea of where you're aiming for, you're probably not going to get there, right? Now, throughout this workshop, please ask any questions you have in the chat window. That you will see there's a Q&A window, but I'm going to keep an eye on the chat window. So please ask any questions in there. Feel free to ask questions as we go. I have the chat window. I can see your questions as we're going. So I can answer them as we go. I will. Otherwise, we'll do a bit of a Q&A at the end as well. Okay? Awesome. So this is the visioning exercise I would like you to do. Imagine that it's New Year's Eve and you're looking back on all you've achieved during the year. So we're sticking to a year at the moment for today. Obviously, there's a bigger vision of eventually, but let's just do this one. So you're looking back on all you've achieved during the year. What I want you to think about is what that's going to feel like for you. So here's a bunch of questions to kind of help you figure that out. What will your biz and life feel like? Will you have reached a certain financial goal? Will you have saved enough to take your family on holiday? Will you have quit your regular job? How much time will you be spending working on your business? What comes into your mind when you contemplate this question? So it's going to be different for everybody, but this is the first exercise that we're going to go through today. So I will go back to that window after we've talked through this so that you have that to think about. But this is our very first activity, all right? So I want you to imagine you're writing a journal entry about the year that's just completed, about your achievements. So phrase it, if you can, from the perspective of I have achieved, or this year I've done, and outline why you were successful as well. What did you focus on? What did you change? What motivated you to make your dreams a reality? And really take the time to evoke the emotion of what this is going to be feeling like. How are you going to feel? Because emotions, are what are going to drive you. You have to really feel it, because there will be times when this will be hard. There are times this will be stressful. There are times you will want to give up. And unless you have a very clear motivation for what you're trying to achieve and the vision you're trying to achieve, it's very easy to give up and to slack off and all of those sorts of things, right? So try to really bring that out in what you're writing down. And I want you to write this somewhere you can refer back to, and then put a note in your calendar to actually pull it out and read it at the end of the year and see how close you got to your vision. How close did reality match your vision? Okay, so I'm going to leave this window up for a minute, and then I'm going to switch back to that other one to give you a bit of food for thought as we have our little break here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to stop my I'll stop my video and I'll mute myself. But if you have questions, I might pop back in to answer questions as we go. Okay. All right. I want you to focus on the activity rather than being distracted by me. So let's go. 5 minutes, starting now. There's still a few minutes left. I just wanted to remind you, if you want to ask my opinion on anything, please feel free to pop it in that chat window and I will help you out. Yes, absolutely. Let me just, can you guys see that? It should be up on your screen. If it's not, I've pressed a button wrong. As I said, it's the first time I've used this system with the, oh, okay. Why is that paused? That shouldn't be paused. Zoom share. There we go. Sorry, guys. I must have pressed that accidentally. Hopefully you can see it again now. Let me know when you're finished. Just put done in the chat window. I know you may not get it finished in this 5 minutes. I can always go an extra minute or two if people need it. Okay, I can see a bunch of you are done. Fantastic work. Done-ish. I love that, Julie. And yeah, like if you haven't got it completed during this little break, please feel free, obviously afterwards, to just flesh it out a little bit and get clear on it. Okay, awesome. Now, have you all put a note in your calendar? I want you to do that now before we move on as well, whether it's on your phone or in your diary. Literally put a note, say, check, have, refer back to or pull out my vision so that you do. I'm going to put a note in my phone, in my calendar, because I'm going to go and chase you. I'm going to say, hey, who has pulled out their notes and their vision? Let's see here. All right. I'll put it on maybe not quite New Year's Eve, the day before. So... drive a circle, remind about Jen vision. All right, that's in there now. Okay, so that's awesome. So we have a vision. We have an idea of what things are going to look like and feel like. Now the next stage is... what's going to be the number one goal for this year? Your business goal. Basically, there's three parts of what we're going through today. We're doing the vision. Then we want to set this number one goal. Remember, goals are different to priorities. Your vision is kind of a priority exercise in that you might not have exact definite numbers or anything like that, but it's the feeling of it and like what you're going to be focusing on. The number one business goal is something you want to have very firmly as a sort of SMART goal, the thing that you're most focused on achieving for this year. So that's what we want. Now, I really want to highlight my little bit in brackets here. Don't get caught up in the shoulds that you might have internalized from other people. This is your business, and it's time to create an ultimate goal that reflects what you want. Okay, so there's this idea that business is, you know, one particular thing. You have to be making lots of money. You have to keep growing it all the time. You know, there's all these sort of societal ideas of what a successful business is. None of that matters. All that matters is what you want this business to be and what you want to achieve out of it. Okay, and this is going to be different for everybody. Yeah, chances are we want to make some money, obviously, but the amount of money is going to be different for everybody. The amount of work we're willing to do, the amount of time we have to put into it is different. The amount of experience, the stage we are at our business is different, you know, our background in business. So don't, you know, try to move away from those shoulds, what, you know, you might have in your head of what you should be doing, and actually think about what you really do want to do. So What is the biggest thing you want to achieve this year? And I've got some examples here. Is it a numbers goal? Like I will make $5,000 in revenue this year. And just as an aside, if you haven't already, and I have to put this in the circle, I'm not sure if I have yet, over on the business of making, the girls and I are running a big survey called the State of Handmade. And we are trying to get as many makers as possible to do this survey. It's anonymous. It's about 5 or 10 minutes. And we ask you about all sorts of aspects of your handmade business. We've had about 1,000 responses so far. It's been amazing. We want more though. It closes February 14th. So there's still a few weeks left. If you haven't already done it, head on over to, not right now, this, I'll remind you at the end, thestateofhandmade.com. And we can see the responses are coming in. One interesting number that's popping up that I looked at the other day is that almost, I think a little bit more than 50% of people who've responded make less than $5,000 a year from their handmade business. That does mean that 50% make more than that, but it is quite a large number. It's like 25% who make between $2,000 and $5,000, and 20, a little bit less than 25 maybe, that make under $1,000. And of course, this will all vary depending on how long people have been in business, and we ask that question too. But so, you know, set a revenue goal or a dollar goal that works for you at your current stage of business. If you're in your first year, it might be $1,000. If you're in your 10th year, it might be $100,000, okay? I love what Leanne said here. If I had a dollar for every time that somebody said to me, you should try this in your business, I wouldn't need a business. Absolutely. People like me, you know, I'm sharing from my own personal experience. I'm sharing from the experience of my students. But even if I say something, you can disagree with me. I might, you know, it might not be the right thing to do for you. You have to work that out. Okay, so a numbers goal, revenue. Yeah, I hate the word should. I try to strike it from my own vocabulary as much as possible. I actually thought about doing a podcast on that at some stage, if I haven't already. Who knows? Is it a sales goal? So I will sell 100 items this year, okay? A practical goal. So, you know, doing something like I will create and launch my own website this year. So these are all very definable goals. They're not wishy-washy. They're not open-ended. They are, I will do this exact thing. Okay. So you want it to be focused on the outcome you want to achieve, not at this stage, not the process. And ideally pick something that seems almost, but not quite out of reach. So those of you who may have been in the business settings before, or, you know, in goal setting sort of world, you've probably heard about the different types of goals. So some people call it the big, hairy, audacious goal, or your stretch goal, whatever it might be. It's sort of like there's three levels potentially of goals. So if you pick a goal, so a revenue goal, your first level might be, okay, I'm going to make $2,000 this year. That is my absolute minimum. That is not negotiable. I must reach that number. The middle one might be, I'm going to make $5,000 this year. That's what I really want to achieve, right? And then if I'm just going crazy, I might say, hey, I want to make $10,000 this year. And that's just my stretch goal. I don't actually really think I'm going to achieve it, but it would be pretty exciting if I did, and it's something that can kind of stretch me to work a little bit harder. So that's one way I approach goals sometimes, if you want to have those sort of multiple levels of goals. But whatever that baseline is, it has to be absolutely pretty much 100% achievable. So I'm kind of talking about that middle one. I want you to think about what that middle one might be. It might seem a little bit out of reach, but you think it's probably still possible. So pick something that feels like that. All right. Okay. So the next step is to, yes, I love that Leanne just said in the chat, stretch but don't snap. That's a really awesome way of putting it. You want to stretch yourself, but you don't want to snap because you've set your bar too high, right? So I want you to write this down. This is one thing. Now, of course, this is not like the only thing you're working on this year in your business, okay? There might be many other things that you want to work on. Like, chances are, if you want to launch your website or your online shop, that's not the only thing you want to be doing, right? When you have a revenue goal, you probably also have a sales goal. But I just want you to pick one thing that's like, can kind of focus you So it's the thing that will motivate you the most as well. So for some people are really motivated by money, other people aren't. They might be motivated by a sales number. They might be motivated by heck reviews. I don't know, whatever it is for you. You know, I want to get 50 reviews this year from my customers or something. It might be I want to attend 4 big markets this year, because you have to do the work to apply and all that sort of stuff. So you want to pick something that you are motivated by, and it's going to be kind of the focal point for the year. Not the only thing, but the main thing. All right. So Shannon's just said, I'm struggling with this. Anyone else struggling with this? Share with us in the chat. It can be hard to pick something, especially someone like Shannon who's been in business for 10 years. I understand what that's like. You're kind of rolling along, right? You've done a lot of the stuff to get your business going. It's already running well. What am I going to focus on this year, right? It is hard to pick just one. And like I said, it doesn't have to be the only thing you work on. Of course, it's not. But I really think it's important to have that one thing to focus on. So write it down on a post-it note, design a pretty page in Canva, put it in your bathroom mirror, lipstick, whatever. It doesn't matter. But write it down and put it somewhere that you'll see it every day. The whole point of this is to have a constant reminder of why you're doing this and what you're actually working towards, okay? So your vision, you're probably not going to have a vision, you know, printed on the wall, although you can, like, you know, some businesses have like mission statements and stuff like that. That's at a bigger level, obviously. But having like this goal, I'll give you an example for those of you who are struggling with one that worked for me in the past. I've told this story before, but when I was in my first few years of business, so probably my first kind of full-time year, which was 2010, I was like, I actually sat down and thought about, okay, well, if this really goes ahead and I really make a success of this, how much money am I going to need to be making? How much am I going to need to sell in order to make that money? And if you've done Setup Shop, you know, that's like one of the first lessons I make people do, because it changed everything for me. I actually worked out, okay, if I want to earn as much from this business as I did in my previous job, so what was my salary? My salary was like $50,000 a year or something back then, which doesn't sound like much now, but at the time it was like the most money I'd ever made by far. I was like, okay, well, if I want to make that much money, how many things am I going to need to sell, and how much money am I going to need to make every day? Like, literally break it down. If I hit this particular amount every single day for a year, I will have made that amount of money, right? And so I broke that down, and I think it was $300 a day or something like that. And I literally wrote that down and I stuck it on my wall. And every single day I looked at that number. I'm like, that's the number today. That is what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming to make $300 today. And that just narrowed me down and focused me. And like, any day that I hit that goal was a day for celebration, and any day I didn't hit that goal was a day to work harder. And eventually I reached that goal more often than not, and then surpassed it. So something like that can be really motivating. I'm just going to check the chat. There's a few notes here. So Shannon said, my instinct is to say, have my online shop launched by so-and-so a date. But then I wonder, is that part of the step to a bigger goal of supporting my possible return to business full-time and financial goal? Or do I want to make the August exhibition my main goal? And Heather said, my life outside of business is very challenging, and it's hard to choose a goal because I lack confidence in how the year will go. Okay, so Shannon's struggling with kind of analysis paralysis here. She's got a couple of big things happening and she's not sure which one to focus on. Heather's got the issue of, you know, life outside potentially interfering. And this is where we do something like kind of the fear setting. I think I've talked about this briefly on the Business Making podcast. It's an exercise that Tim Ferriss developed, and it's what you do is you go, okay, these are all the, you actually literally sit down and go, if I want to achieve this particular thing, these are all the things that could possibly stand in my way. These are all the things that could possibly go wrong. And then you literally write them down, and then the next stage is to write down, okay, well, what can I do to mitigate the possibility, like to prevent or reduce the possibility of these things happening? And then the third column, you actually write, okay, if this thing does happen, worst case scenario, how can I cope with it? Or how can I overcome it? Or how can I fix it? What's the solution? So you literally write all of these fears down. You work out how you can try to mitigate them. You work out how you can cope if it does come to pass. And it's a really good exercise if you're feeling stuck because you have all these fears floating around in your head or uncertainties floating around in your head. If you'd like me to talk more about that at another time, I can do that. But just Google Tim Ferriss fear setting. He's got a TED talk. It's quite good. Okay. So I can't answer these questions. As in, Shannon, I can't make the decision for you as much as I'd like to. My instinct is to say the web shop, just because I know you've been working on that a long time and I feel like it might be something that you just want to get done and finish with so you can focus on other things, but not my decision to make. Heather with life outside of business. Again, that's where it comes down to, I think we're going to talk about this in a minute, or we talked about a bit in the vision. It comes down to being realistic with your time and how much time and energy you have available. So what a lot of people do, and for more on this, go listen to the Business of Making podcast. We just did an episode about this recently, expectations versus reality, and I'm pretty sure I've done one on my podcast a few years ago as well. What happens to people is they set their expectations too high, and then they never meet it. And then we feel depressed. We feel angry at ourselves. We feel like we're failures. And none of that is necessarily true. It might just be that we set our expectations higher than what reality can actually allow us to achieve. So we need to get realistic about what we can actually achieve in a year, how much time we actually have to work on our business, how much energy we have, what other expectations we have on our shoulders, you know, our family, our community, our job, whatever it might be. And I think, you know, being realistic with all of that and then going, okay, what can I really realistically do this year in my business? Let's set a goal that I know I can achieve, might be just on that upper end, but I know I can achieve. And Heather, again, with that, maybe set those two, you know, the bottom absolutely rock must 100%. I can absolutely do this almost in my sleep. And then the higher version of it, whatever that might be. Leanne said, I have a money goal pinned to my pin board. And next to it, I have a note that says, what can I do today to make money? That's great. Yeah, absolutely. Like, what can I do today? And that's exactly what I used to think when I was looking at that $300 written on the board. I'm like, okay, what can I do today? Can I put a post on Instagram? Can I send an email out to my list? Can I create a new product and launch it? Like, there's so many different things I can do. Can I reach out to a potential wholesaler and make a sale that way? All of those things that, you know, you might possibly be able to do to actually make money that day. And another good thing about that is sometimes I think we get distracted and we kind of get distracted by the everyday stuff, like, you know, answering email, dealing with customers, just the sort of admin stuff. And then we don't actually do the actual work that moves the business forward so much. I've totally fallen into this trap myself, getting distracted by that stuff and not doing the actual work that would potentially make the sale. Okay. All right. So I've talked about that for a while. Let's move on. Okay. So as I said, this is your focus for the year. No matter what else grabs your attention, you keep coming back to this goal. And it's not necessarily the only thing, but it's the main thing. And hey, if you knock this goal out of the park by June, set a new goal. And there's no reason you have to take the entire year to have this goal come to fruition, right? You could potentially get it done earlier and then move on to something else. So maybe Shannon can have set a goal of having her website done by June and then the August thing or the other way around, whatever works. All right. Just take a sip of my water. Almost run out. All right. So this is the next step. We've got our vision. We've got our number one goal. How are we going to get there? I think you all know where this is going. Priorities is how it's going to get there. So this is the next step down. I recommend you set three big priorities for the year. So ideally, these priorities are going to be related to your number one goal or your ultimate goal for the year, whatever you want to call it. But they should be at least pushing you in the right direction. Okay, so let's talk a bit about what this might look like. Here's an example. Your number one goal is the year is to make $5,000 from your business. How are you going to make this happen? What projects are you going to put in place to move towards that goal? So here your top three priorities for the year might be number one or A. I couldn't work out how to put numbers under numbers. So A, sell $1,000 worth of products via wholesale. B, launch 4 new product lines, because the more product lines you launch, the more chance you have to talk about your business, the more chance you have to make sales of new products to repeat customers. Okay, that's where that thought process comes from. C, improve my SEO and get 50 visitors to my site each day. So see how I've actually gone, okay, well, this is my goal, make $5,000. Great. How the hell do I do it? I've actually broken it down into projects or mini goals or priorities that are things I can actually work on in order to move me towards that goal. And those are just examples. You know, there's plenty of other ways you could be working towards the goal of making $5,000 from your business. But these are the projects. Okay, so here's where it really becomes really important. These are the projects that you make a priority because you've determined that they are the most important things to get done in order to potentially reach your goal. Okay? How often have we just sat down and gone, oh, well, I might post on Instagram today and I have some orders that I need to make and, oh, yeah, there's some emails I need to answer, and that's kind of what happens every day. We don't necessarily do take the time to work on those bigger, important but not urgent projects, right? If you're familiar with the urgent but not important matrix, that's something I've definitely talked about before. There's kind of four quadrants that tasks can fit into, and most of us end up spending most of our time working on urgent and important and urgent and not important tasks, whereas we don't often spend time working on the important but not urgent tasks because there's nothing poking us to make us go do them, right? This sort of work, what we're doing right now, is important but not urgent, okay, which is why I'm so pleased you're here working on it because I think it's really, really important. So we've got our goal and we want to break down it into priorities. So think in this particular case, think of a priority like a project. Priorities are projects, okay? So they're a smaller project, part of the bigger project of reaching the goal, and they're actual very specific things. So I'm going to use Shannon's example. All right, so she wants to launch her online shop this year. What does she have to do? She has to photograph and edit all of her products. She might hire someone to do the web development. So hire a web developer, get them, you know, obviously to do that sort of stuff. There might be a project that's around actually planning what the website's going to be, you know, what platform you're going to use, what shopping cart you're going to use. All of those things are important and decisions that have to be made. Do I need to make more products? You know, if I'm launching my website, do I need to make a new product line because I want to launch with that or something? So there's, you know, there's heaps of different things you can pick, but you need to kind of come up with those, the most important projects that will get you towards that goal. Are there any questions on this system? Love it. So Shannon has number one, do the photography. Number two, work through setup shop again. And three, make the stock. So that's great. So you've got those three priorities. Try to be a little bit more detailed. In other words, photograph and edit all of my products, and edit the photos of all of my products, because you've got to photograph them, you've got to edit them, then you've got to decide on the ones that are actually getting chosen for the website. You probably want to, you know, especially if you work with other people or just for your own sanity, you probably want to organize them into folders on your desktop or whatever, so you can easily access them, or in Dropbox or whatever. So all of those sorts of things. Sort of, this is when you. And for those of you who are familiar with my top three priorities method of planning, that's kind of what I'm doing with you here, the top level of it. What you can do is actually break projects down and into three, and then three, and then three. And why three? It's not mandatory that you have three things, but it's just a really powerful number that it's easy for our brains to hold on to. We can hold on to three things. If we start getting much past that, it gets a little bit dispersed, right? But three things we can kind of hold in our mind simultaneously as projects or priorities that we need to be focusing on. So the photography for Shannon, one of her priorities underneath her main goal would be, get the product photography done. And then underneath that would be photograph, edit, decide on, and organize the pictures. So that's three priorities underneath that priority, or three projects underneath that project, okay? So see how it's breaking everything down. And the ultimate goal with this breaking down is to get to something I can do today. Here is a task. So lots of little tasks will be at the bottom of this pyramid, and those tasks will then make a project happen and make the bigger project happen and make the biggest project happen. Okay, so it's a kind of reverse engineering of all the things you need to do to get there. Krista's question, is it okay to start with a relatively small goal because I feel that's the most I can handle, sort of a confidence builder? Yes. I know you've been having issues with getting started, so I want you to pick something that you can achieve. If you are having issues and problems with confidence and with analysis paralysis, overwhelm, not actually making any progress because everything seems too big and scary, the thing to do is do baby steps. So pick something small, get that done. Pick something else small, get that done. Because as you do every single one of those little jobs, you build your confidence, you realize you can do it, and it gets it just builds you up and up and up. Rather than picking something, like we were talking about earlier, picking something huge, setting your expectations up here somewhere, and then knowing that realistically I'm only going to get to here, right? And then you will feel bad about yourself because you'll feel like you've failed, which you haven't, but that's how you're going to feel. So start, if this is reality, this is like too high expectations, just pick something down here and start with that. And then you can pick something else and something else. Okay. So yeah, don't be afraid to start small if that's all you are ready for at this point in time. It's better to start small, achieve something, because you get that boost and then continue on from there. Yeah, Leanne's put it really well. It's as much about forming a habit as it is about achieving the goal. You're forming a habit of working on your business. Now, those of us who've been in business a long time, it's kind of a no-brainer. We've built that habit up. It's a system for us. It's a habit. You know, I work on my business Monday to Friday. It's just, I don't even have to think about it. Like, it's a work day. That's what I do. I sit down and I work on my business. I don't work on the weekends because it's not a work day. But if I'm not on holidays, like away somewhere, if it's a Monday, I start working. And if I don't, I feel like, what am I doing? Like, I'm naughty. I should be working today, right? Unless I've decided ahead of time. So yeah, it's about building a habit and working that in. So I love that. Thank you, Leanne. Leanne, you're such a font of lovely pithy sayings. I love it. Okay. So we've talked through all of that. Now, we've probably already done this while I've been talking, but because I have been yammering at you, I'm going to actually go quiet again and give you a chance to really think through this. And hey, if you've done one, you can pick another one as well. So for example, okay, here's my ultimate goal. Here's my priorities. Let's break them down so you can break them down even further. Or you can even work on another goal that you're going to make your next one, because you're just working on this one. And once that one's done, you'll have another one. So I want you to just spend a bit of time working on that. I'm going to give you, again, 5 minutes to work on this. How are we going for time? Yep. All right. So decide on what your top three priorities for the year are going to be. Be different for everybody. Ask me questions in the chat window. Feel free to share your priorities with us. If you don't have to, of course, if you'd like to share them with us, feel free to, especially if you want advice on, you know, how should I break this down or whatever. And again, write this down. This is the real deal, people. This is not, we're not just doing this for fun. This is literally what you should be working on in your business this year. That is what I want you to do. This is real work and very important. So let's do it right. Okay, I'm going to go dark. for 5 minutes and let you keep working on that, okay? And then I'll be back. Hit me up in the chat window if you need help. Okay, just a quick note. Shireen's got some great stuff in there. She's got her goal, which is kind of a combo goal, whereas one would lead to the other, e-commerce website leading to the profit. So I'd say the 30% profit is kind of the number one thing. Shannon, yep, I like that, Shannon. That's great. So you've taken your first pro and you've broken it down on the right track, definitely. Creating a launch plan and calendar. I do talk about that at the near the end of my setup shop course, but I'm trying to think if I have something specifically about that in the circle. I'll go have a look. Elizabeth, I'm pretty sure there is a workshop in the circle about launching. So go have a look for that. I'm pretty sure I have one in there about launching your products or your new product line or something. So that might be helpful for you. Laugh, Lynn. Julie's got hers there. Increase a wholesaler's attention. That's good. Yep. Yes, good. Jill, you can always go back and rewatch. It'll be up within 24 hours. Awesome. Okay, I think that's been 5 minutes. I'll bring myself back on here. Hi again. All right, so everybody's doing great. That's fantastic. If you haven't already finished, we can always finish. We're almost at the end here, so you can have a little bit of time afterwards to finish up. But again, these are the real deal. These are the things you're going to be working on this year. So something to come back to and review and focus on and keep top of mind so that you don't get distracted by all the shiny objects and squirrels around you. Okay, awesome. Too long to put in the chat window. That's fine. Average 10 sales per month. That's great. Okay, good. I'm loving all these very, very strong goals here. Okay. All right. So, next steps. Let me just pull this down. Okay. You have your vision, your number one goal, and your top three priorities for the year. The next step is to integrate project planning into your business. So how? We break the priorities down, as I kind of talked about before, into quarters, months, and weeks, and then eventually days, obviously. And then implement at least monthly planning days to review and plan ahead. This is how I do things, and I think it's a really helpful way of doing things. So, okay, we've talked a bit about breaking down the priorities. I personally find it helpful to do it in quarters and then months and then kind of weeks for projects. Whatever works for you, you know, you might just want to do quarters or you might just want to do months. It just gives things a timeline, you know, because to do project planning properly, you actually need to put a timeline together of when you're going to have each part of it done. So to go back to Shannon's example, because it's a real easy one, you've got your photo, deciding on the photos, making the photos, editing the photos. So each of those could be like February, March, April. If you wanted to devote a month to each one of those, and then that's kind of giving you a time frame to getting it done. The planning days, I'm pretty sure there is a podcast episode on this inside the circle, how to have an effective monthly planning day, something I've been doing for many years now. There's a few steps to it. One, generally speaking, I encourage you to get out of your normal work environment. There's a great video I just watched recently from Matt Diavella. Diavella, I'm not sure how it's D'Avella, I think. He's kind of a self-helpy YouTuber. I don't know what genre to put him in, but he does a lot of interesting like 30-day projects and stuff like that. And he's also a filmmaker, so his videos are really good. They're good to watch. But he's just done one recently about about the zone. So you might have heard this idea of, you know, being in the zone, the flow state. Okay, so it's all about that. And he actually interviews a psychologist who specializes in this and how to get yourself into a flow state or into the zone with your work. And one of the triggers is novelty. So being somewhere different or doing something different to your normal routine, it kind of wakes your brain up a bit and helps you get into that state. It's like novelty, risk, excitement. There's a few different ones there. But again, go check that out on YouTube. I never realized that's what I was doing when I was doing this, but it made total sense after I watched this video and it kind of put a light bulb in my head and went, that's why I do that. So I take myself somewhere else, either to a library or a cafe or whatever, and I work there for the day. And all I'm doing is long-term planning work. I don't look at emails or Facebook and stuff like that. That's for another day. It's separated from my normal work both physically and mentally. And so I actually look at my priorities, look at my goals, look at my projects, and I plan the next month or the next 3 months or whatever it might be. Okay. And it's incredibly powerful because it makes space for that work. Because so often, as I was saying before, we get stuck in the everyday minutia of running a business, in the admin, in just keeping the ball rolling, that we don't do this work. So I suggest you go somewhere else for a day. You also have some sort of treat or reward as part of it is always nice. Like maybe take yourself for a massage, or take yourself to the beach in the afternoon, something that you enjoy doing, so you can kind of really set that positive reinforcement there of this is a really good thing and something I enjoy doing. Especially if you struggle with planning, I actually quite enjoy it. But if you're one of those people who kind of goes, oh, you know, planning, then having some sort of positive reinforcement there is really nice as well. So that's what I recommend you doing. I'm just going to pop back in the chat here, make sure I haven't missed anything. Excellent. X number of dollars. Brilliant. So that's what we're going to be doing afterwards. Okay. And that's it. That actually took a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. So thank you all for bearing with me. I always start going when I'm teaching and there's lots to think about. I did try to hope to keep it under an hour. So we've managed to do that. Well, just because I didn't start straight on time. But anyway, guys, here is the further resources I was talking about. So there's a couple of members-only podcast episodes here, and there's a couple of workshops. So there's the top three priorities workshop I mentioned, the What's Your Why workshop, which most of you have probably done, but it's a good one to revisit if you're feeling a bit scattered. The 9 strategies to overcome analysis paralysis, the goal setting do's and don'ts for your business, and it's okay to stay small and dream big. Just a few things. So I'm going to go put, I'm just trying to think how to do this. I'm going to put these slides in the event over on Facebook, a link to the slides. They will also then be up on the website once I've published the recording. Of this, like another, any other workshops I have in the circle, you'll have the actual video and the audio and the slides, so you can access those and use them as you're going. So there we go. So I'm happy to stick around for a little bit. I know I've been answering questions as I've been going, but if you have any final questions, pop them in the chat now, and I will answer them for you before I wrap things up and head off to lunch. Okay, I'm going to read what Shannon said here because I think it's important. She says, I just realized that one of the things which stopped me prioritizing planning times is guilt. I actually love planning, but it feels like there are other things I should be doing. There's that word again, which are seemingly more important. So I'm going to work on acknowledging the feeling of guilt, but scheduling and doing the planning times anyway, including scheduling backup dates. Because inevitably my kid will be sick and I'll miss the first date. See, this is what I'm talking about being realistic. You know, you've got a young child who gets sick a lot and then you have to take care of them. That's just being realistic with your time, saying, okay, it's probably going to happen. Let's not beat myself up when that happens and just accept that it's part of the process. I love that. Good job, Shannon. That's awesome. Okay, so this is a great question from Shireen. What part of the month do you feel is the most beneficial to have as a planning day? In some ways, the very end and very beginning seem to be the most hectic for other aspects of the business. Okay, I generally do either the very end or the very beginning of the month because I feel like it's a natural kind of time to do it, as you were saying. I used to do it at the beginning of a month, but this year I'm moving towards doing it more at the end of a month. Although I think this month that's not going to happen just because this week's a bit crazy for me, but it might happen. Somewhere in there is generally when I do it. However, if you are consistently finding you're putting it off because it's, you know, not happening and the middle of the month is quieter for you, there's absolutely no reason why you can't take a planning day in the middle of the month for the following month. Like as in the middle of February for March, right? And then when you get to the middle of March, you can always recalibrate slightly and go, okay, well, I actually got that stuff done at the end of February. I didn't think I'd get it done. So let's, you know, I'm a bit further ahead than I thought I'd going to be. Or conversely, I'm a bit further behind than I thought I was going to be, so I can recalibrate. It's really just an opportunity to step away from the day-to-day running of your business and take a view of the bigger picture and look at where you're going and where you've been. So it really doesn't matter when you do it, but doing it consistently is the most important thing. Okay, so if 1 month you can do it in the beginning of the month, but the next month you can't do it till the middle of the month, well, don't just leave it to the following one. Just, you know, say, I'm going to do it anyway and get in there. Heather, I sometimes plan a little too much. This is a problem that some people do have. It's often the analysis paralysis thing. You plan and you plan and you plan because you feel like it's too scary to actually do. And if that's your tendency, it's just being aware of that and trying not to, maybe you need to limit your planning to the one planning day a month instead of doing it every week or something. Whatever will kind of help you get past that block. Julie, what's the name of the shop program you use again on my own website? I have WooCommerce because I run a WordPress-based website. So on my Ethereal, that's my jewelry website, I have WooCommerce on there. For Create and Thrive, I use a shopping cart called eJunkie because I've been just using that forever and I only have a couple of products, so it's easy. But I recommend WooCommerce if you have a WordPress-based website. It's a great choice. Wow, so many questions. Awesome. Jill has just asked the same question as Heather, so I hope you answered. I answered that a little bit there. An overplanner is someone who is constantly planning and not doing. Basically, it really comes down to that. Like, you feel like you have to plan every single tiny minute detail of your work. Like, some overplanners, and look, even if you do this, it doesn't mean you're an overplanner. Some people like schedule like every hour of the day, for example, for the week ahead. I'm a bit more laissez-faire. I prefer to schedule tasks and then get them done in my working time. And I schedule white space in my calendar. So here's my, let me just grab this. This is my diary for the week. So this is a week and I've got like notes here, which I use like last week. I write notes in there for anything I need to do the week after. The highlights are appointments. So this is us just here, the workshop. You can see that I've got a whole bunch of things I've ticked off there. This was Australia Day, so a holiday, so I didn't put a whole bunch to do on there because my dad came over. And then you can actually see I've got empty space here on my Thursday and my Friday. I've got one thing to do on the Thursday. I've got nothing written on the Friday, but I still have a few more jobs up here. So I haven't actually assigned them a time yet necessarily. I kind of do that as I go through the week. So I try not to overplan myself, and I'm doing a kilometre swim race on the weekend, so that's exciting. So I try not to overplan myself and keep white space in the calendar so that if things take longer, which they always do, then I think they're going to take, I don't overschedule myself. All right. sorry, hang on here, Shannon. There you go. Is this the one you wanted? As I said, I'm literally going to put this in this PDF in the event right after this, so you can download it. Roz has said, I've always been scared to set a solid goal or vision in case I don't achieve it. Finally feel like I can commit and work to something defined. Yes, that's what I want to hear. That's awesome. Glad to hear it. This is good. Yep. Have a look at what Leanne wrote in the chat. I'll just read it out for those of you who are watching the recording. I do a huge brain dump. This is her planning thing. I write down all the things I want to do, all the things I feel like I should do, all the things that seem like a good idea, and all the ideas that are swirling around in my brain. Then I look at everything I've written down and work out what is irrelevant, what I think I want to do but probably don't need to do, or be things that I should delegate, things that will not make me money and are just pointless busy work, etc. Then I have a much smaller list to work from. Delete, delegate, automate first. Absolutely. If you use Inbox Zero, that's also a great system to use. That's fantastic. Leanne, you should be teaching some of these workshops, I feel. You always have great advice. It's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Delete, delegate, and automate. Yeah, and getting, I think this is a big thing for people, is getting all of those ideas out of your brain, okay? So what I did with you today was tried to help you focus and actually work out what the main things are for you to work on. But throughout the year, you will have so many ideas popping up. You'll have so many potential projects, so many things that you suddenly want to achieve. And that's why having something like this done ahead of time is really helpful, because it makes you go, okay, yep, that sounds really exciting and I want to do it. However, I need to come back and remember that I already have a goal. I already have priorities of things that I've decided. You know, past Jess has decided these things are important. Present Jess needs to focus on them and get them done. And future Jess can do these other things. Okay, so that is the sort of system. Now, caveat on that, it's not to say sometimes things come up that are time sensitive. You know, for example, I got approached earlier this month by a wholesaler in America who really wanted to stock my work. I have not wholesaled my work in 6 or 7 years. She was a real fan. She's already got some of my pieces, and I was like, you know what? I'm open to this. Here's my limits on what I'm willing to offer. I'm only willing to do earrings. Here's my minimum. And she just was like super happy and went with it. And so suddenly I had an order for 40 pairs of earrings fall in my lap that I didn't plan for. So I had to fit that in around everything else. So those sorts of things come up. And then if you decide to take advantage of that opportunity, you might need to jig things around a bit to make it work. But in the long term, you're still going to keep coming back to these priorities. Okay. Excellent, Tanya. I'm so glad you feel that way. That's fantastic. War and peace, like, this is where you know, we'll have you on the podcast sometime. We'll break it down. Okay, any last questions before I wrap things up and go have some lunch? Some of you probably are getting ready to go to bed over in the US and Canada. As I said, the recording will be available within 24 hours. I'll have it done and up and uploaded to the website in the workshops section, and I'll put a link to that in the Facebook group once that's done as well. Awesome. You're all very welcome. I'm so glad you made it live. Thank you so much for putting the effort in to make it live. I hope this was useful to you all and will help put you in a good position working towards 2020 and everything you want to achieve for the year. Okie dokie. So as I said, there's these further resources if you kind of want to dig into any of these. They'll be available. I mean, they're in the circle right now. You can go get them. And these are all links. So it'll be on the PDF and you can just click through to them. Thank you so much, everyone. Have you enjoyed this live workshop format? Is it something that you're going to keep coming back to? Let me know. I'd love to know if it's something you're enjoying. I really enjoyed it. I think it's, you know, having that time to do the work while you're there and just being able to bounce your ideas off me and bounce them off everybody else is really, really great. Fantastic. Of course, you know, I'm going to have to move the times around, so they won't always be available to everybody. I wish we were all in the same time zone. That would make life a lot easier. But as always, there will be recordings for anyone who can't make it live. Fantastic. Awesome. I'm so glad you all enjoyed it and that you enjoyed the format as well. All right. I might wrap it up for the day. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of January. Not much left now, is there? My God, how did that happen? And in February, there will be a new workshop. I believe off the top of my head, because I've already been working on February stuff, is Critique Yourself. Now, that workshop is already there's a version of it already available in the circle from a few years ago, but I'm going to update it and run it live. So it's going to be an opportunity to actually self-critique your business / website / shop as we're working through it. I'm going to take you through the steps to do that. So that's going to be our February workshop. And that will be again towards the end of the month. Thanks so much, everyone. It's been awesome working with you today, and I will see you all in the circle in the meantime. And yeah, bye for now.